Okay, fine. So as one of the first people that was involved in trying to protect the area around Roswell Pit, can you tell me what your earliest memory, what made you start to become involved?
It was probably in September or October 2006 when I first heard that the pit and the part of the commons had been sold to a developer, that I started to take interest in the area. But I was walking one of our dogs at the time and used the commons and Kiln Lane on a fairly regular basis. And in the winter of that year, I noticed work had started on and around the pits. And I was absolutely horrified at what was happening, and I couldn't really understand how it had been allowed.
And what sort of work was it?
It was a clearance of scrub mainly, and making roadways, for want of a better word, where only sort of footpaths existed before. And trees were being cut down almost willy-nilly at the time. I did notice, I think it was just on the turn of the year, there were two notices down the bottom of Kiln Lane, one from the Wildlife Trust and the other one from Natural England, both boasting how they looked after the area. So I wrote to both of them. I received a reply fairly quickly from the Wildlife Trust, but Natural England didn't reply, so I chased them again, I think, in February. And eventually Peter Stroh wrote back, and his reply was even more unsatisfactory than the one I had from Wildlife Trust, in as much as he'd more or less said it, the work had been authorised, he was getting a new job, goodbye. And it was as simple as that. And then I thought something must be done about stopping what was happening, and we heard through Janet Matthews that Sarah Heffernan Gilman had got a little committee going. So we went away to one of her meetings, I think, in the Leisure Centre, probably in March 2007, and that's where it started.
Right. And because you've been instrumental in getting the town green status, my recollection is, and I think I came later than you to the meetings in March, was that you had an idea in your head that there was legislation that would protect the common, which was part of the land that was being developed.
I think I picked this off the internet. And I also found out that an inquiry was going on at St Ives on this subject, and was able to get in touch with the people who had promoted the application, and they were very helpful in pointing out ways that the application could be put together, for want of a better word, how the application could be put together to the best advantage. I can't remember exactly the timings, but it was ongoing for a considerable period of time before I actually submitted the first application in August 2008.
So the 2008 application, if I'm right, was after we'd contacted the Environmental Law Foundation and got legal help through them, the barrister.
Yes. And it was obviously with the permission and help of the LCPRE that I actually drafted the application and applied in their name, in effect.
Yeah. From that informal group, Sarah decided to call it the Local Campaign for the Protection of Rural Evil, and a committee was formed, and that's when Andrew Bamford joined and I joined, and Mary Edwards came along as well. So we then had very concerned local people, and we had a couple of people, Mary and Andrew, who had real specific knowledge and lots of contacts. Would that be the way you...
Yes, yes. This was late May, early June 2007.
Yeah. And that's the same sort of time that we had a public meeting.
Yes. Yes, that was on the 12th of June, and by which time the new committee was in place. If my memory serves me right, various committee members had made donations to the new committee, and we had about £1,000 in the bank, so to speak, to cover the various functions that we were trying to organise.
Yes, and the most important, I think, early on, was the meeting that we had, that you were away from, was the meeting that we had in City Liverpool, where we had what we thought we might get 100 people, and we couldn't contain ourselves because it began to fill up and fill up and fill up. And in the end, when we had more than 400 people in, we had to turn away possibly another 100 people. And it was then that we realised that although LCPRU was a very small committee, there was a huge backing from people really for what we were doing. And I think that gave us tremendous enthusiasm to carry forward and to get the legal protection.
Yes, that's correct. I personally wasn't at the meeting, but obviously the new committee were absolutely delighted with the response that we've had and started to put pressure on the East Cambs District Council regarding work going on the site, whether it was authorised and whether it was legal even.
Yes.
And I think at that time we managed to get a tree preservation order over the site to stop part of the destruction of even more undergrowth and shrubs.
Yes, so we had the tree preservation order, and then we had a barrister's report which pointed out that the work that was being done equated to work being done from the arena. And we also had, what was it called? The
enforcement notice.
An enforcement notice to stop the developer doing any more work. So it was actually a very fruitful period of time in that we'd got a membership-based group and we were beginning to get legal protection and beginning to get people to take it seriously.
Yes, that sums it up admirably, I think.
Yes, that period. And then you had put the Village Green application in. And how many witnesses and things did you have?
Originally, I had 74 affidavits showing usage of the commons over a period of 20 years. But when it actually came to the hearing, I had 20 people who would give oral evidence as well.
And that 20 was sufficient? 20 is considered a good number?
The barrister would have liked more, but he had to make do with the 20 people I could actually raise who would be prepared to give oral evidence.
And you say the barrister, and that's another thing that was tremendously exciting and encouraging, was the way in which we've managed to get the money to pay for a barrister. By having an art auction, which people donated art things and promises. And we were lucky enough to have the Hayward Theatre, and as you said, we made £7,000, which paid our barrister's fee and allowed us to have money in the bank to pay for other things, and showed what wonderful support we had right across the community.
Yes, and certainly it was a godsend to have the money on hand. The barrister we eventually employed was just starting out on his career. He was very good. Unfortunately, he was cheap with regard to the legal profession. And although I feel he had more to learn, he represented us very well at the hearing.
And it was unfortunate, wasn't it, that it didn't go our way when it eventually... When did it actually come?
The inquiry actually took place on the 3rd to the 5th of December, but it went into the following week as well for another 2 days. However, we didn't receive the inspector's report until the 18th of August 2009, and she said that we had proved 3 of the 4 points we needed to succeed in our application, but we failed on the technicality of deferring to the contractor when he took his annual crop of hay from the Northern Common.
Right, so So what we lost on was the fact that we behaved with courtesy and common sense when the tractor was on the field, and it was usually only a day and maybe a day for the hay to dry.
Yes.
And I use that phrase because that came up, didn't it, in a judgment from the Supreme Court. There was a case brought in Redcar about a golf course, and when golfers shouted "four," people stopped and didn't walk into the path of the ball. And they failed to get village green status on their land because they deferred to the golfers. Redcar were fortunate in that they had enough money to go to the High Court, to the Supreme Court, and all five judges came down in their favour, saying they had behaved with courtesy and common sense, and so they got their village green. At the same time, the Supreme Court decided it would rule on haymaking, because we were not the only village green that had failed by deferring to the haymaking process. And they again said that people who deferred to the tractor were only behaving with courtesy and common sense and had not ceded their rights. So at that point, that's when you took up the cudgels again.
Yes. With some trepidation, I did prepare a second application, and we felt, the committee felt, that it should be in exactly the same form as before, fronted by me for LCPRE, to provide continuity, because the second application consisted of a basic idea that we must continue to prove that the commons have been used for previous 20 years, but at the same time we relied on the evidence of the previous hearing and the Redcar Lewis decision to plug the loophole that we had run up against before.
So when you put in the second application, did you know that it would be heard, or did you have to get permission from Cambridge County Council to see that they would accept it?
Yes, I did write to the officer there prior to the application, just to make sure that I wasn't doing anything illegal or being frivolous.
Yes, and we did the same thing to fund that. We had another art auction, this time in the city of England.
Yes, in September. The new inquiry was scheduled for the 26th, 27th and 28th of March 2013, and Mr Richard Ground, was the inspector. We did meet on the commons and walked with him throughout the whole length of both commons so that he could see the grounds that were under dispute, and our barrister also accompanied us, I believe, prior to Mr Ground's visit, when we had a private view of the commons, if you remember.
Yes.
I had 10 witnesses for this particular application only, of which 8 actually gave verbal evidence. It was much easier than the previous application, in as much as that the witnesses were not badgered as much as before, and I felt that the evidence produced by the developer was weak.
I felt that we had learned by having the previous inquiry exactly what could be asked and was asked, and we had evidence in abundance that we didn't realise we would be called upon. Well, we weren't actually asked for it, but we would have been better off if we had had it. So I think we did a better job the second time.
Yes, I'm sure we did. It was also, at the same time, I think it was also the unknown, because not only was the evidence questioned, the actual second application fell into a judicial area, well, that's probably the wrong word, into a rather vague. Did we have to contend with the actual hearing to test our case? But the developer's solicitor also raised the subject of res judicata, which effectively says you can't use the same evidence twice to support the same suit. Our barrister gave a wonderful lecture on the validity of this law, and we felt at the end of the day he had dispelled the case put by the barrister, objector's solicitor. It took some time to get the report, which arrived on the 30th of September 2013, and Mr. Ground agreed that the application succeeded and that the town and village green label could be attached to Ely Commons. It was subject to a meeting at the Camlas County Council offices on the 12th of December 2013, where they ratified it.
And the best thing about that is that it now gives people the right to use that common for lawful uses and pastimes. And as far as we know, that is in perpetuity. It's been a tremendous thing for everybody you've done, but it's a tremendous thing that you've done, and I don't know how you feel about that, because you were the one that instigated it and you've carried it through, and I think it's probably one of your major achievements. Do you feel that?
Very much so, and considering it took 5 years really of ups and downs before we did get it, and it was almost a relief when we won at the final hurdle.
Yes, I don't think we felt excited enough. We were excited, and it was lovely to go for a walk and have afternoon tea and gloat. But it had been such a long, unpleasant slog at times that I think it takes quite a while to realise that you, and it was you, have done something really remarkable. I know everybody else supported it, but it is a remarkable thing that we have in the face of opposition and with support of local people, but not from any local bodies. We have actually done something that protects one of the valuable open spaces. It's part of the SSSI, but it's part of many, many people's daily routine. People who walk dogs or just go for walks or who bring children to play. And you, by doing this, have ensured that that will go on for hundreds of years to come.
I very much hope so. And the other thing that I'm not exactly sure about, but I believe this is the first disputed village green application that's actually succeeded.
Oh, that's also, isn't it? Wonderful.
In Cambridgeshire.
Yes. I think it has all been very, very heartening, in that we've shown that from very small beginnings, it has been possible by market stalls and things like that to generate a lot of genuine local enthusiasm and support for an area that might have been hardly considered as being important, and showing exactly how important it is in the lives of people who live in Ely. And it's a valuable contribution to the SSSI, which I'm sure Andrew and Nigel will talk about later on.